start again. I'm Barb Sattler. So I'm a professor and I direct the Environmental Health Education Center at the University of Maryland School of Nursing. I'm also the chairperson of the board of the New Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And Brenda Afzel, who's in the back, is also one of the board members. I have no relations to anything about anything. So many of you are probably familiar with the Institute of Medicine report. It's very old at this point, but it was a report that noted that nurses really weren't learning practically anything about occupational or environmental health in their basic nursing education. And this was in 1995. And the truth be known, up until just a few years ago, they, and even in many instances now, they are still not learning very much at all about occupational or environmental health in schools of nursing. But the recommendations were that that environmental health should be integrated into education, practice, research, and advocacy. And it kind of created a blueprint for us to follow. So Jean very nicely laid out that we have now a new context that is going to give us a different kind of underpinning to really move this forward. And so one of them is the fact that right now, any nurse in this country has as part of your standard of practice, environmental health in that domain. It now, how many of you are nurses in the audience? It now defines us. So this is in our domain, and so it needs to also then be in our education and in our practice, et cetera. Jean talked about core competencies and essential knowledge. So I'm going to talk, you've seen this slide before, a little bit about the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. A group of 50 leaders were convened 2 Decembers ago to really, what was happening before is that Trish over there was doing this wonderful stuff on environmental health, and Tom in the back was doing some little something on environmental health, and Jean was doing it, and we were moving forward in very inefficient, very disorganized way. And so we got some funding to pull 50 of the leaders and nurses around the country who were doing something environmental health and said, you know, maybe if we did this a little bit more coordinated, we'd actually have a better impact. And so out of that came the creation of the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. Because we wrote our mission statement by committee, it's got a lot of things in it, but essentially it is to promote the IOM mandate for integration of environmental health into education, into the nursing profession, into it, through advancing research, always incorporating evidence-based practice, and also explicitly influencing policy. So that's our mission statement. We have a structure, we have a steering committee, and then we have a set of work groups. And so let me describe, membership. We're not yet really a membership. You don't pay dues to participate. That may change in the future. We're still sort of emerging as an organization. But I can tell you that the people who, I didn't know this little woman changed into a lot of people at the same time. I just cut and paste her, and now she's all these other people, too. Isn't it magic? I didn't do that. I wonder who else is going to show up in my slides. Some of the people who came officially as representatives of their organizations, and some came as individual nurses who, oh, by the way, are active in their professional subspecialty organization. But we do have a very good show of public health nurses. Oncology Nursing Society just kind of began to get active this past year, and I want to tell you, they are new and they are fierce. They are really tired of taking care of people with cancer and children with cancer. They are really tired of it. They want to, in addition to doing good, really good care for their patients, they want to figure out how we can stop having carcinogens in our air and our water and the face cream that we put on every morning. So they're new, you know, new folks here. The education committee, you heard a lot from Jean, so I'm not going to talk too much there. But I should tell you that the American Association of Colleges of Nurses created a task force this past year. That's the Association of Deans of Schools of Nursing, baccalaureate mostly, in this country. They created a task force, I'm sitting on it, and we're making recommendations to the deans of schools of nursing for how to integrate environmental health into undergraduate curriculum. So they're going to start pushing this from the top down. Our practice work group is looking at two elements of practice. So one of them is, how do you green your work setting? If you have a clinic, if you have a hospital, how do you make sure it's as sustainable and environmentally healthy and safe as possible? And then, in terms of your actual clinical practice as a nurse, whether it's in a public health setting, a school setting, or a hospital, given what we know about the relationship between the environment and human health, what do you do differently? What questions do you ask your patients? How do you respond when you have found that they have an environmental exposure? So the practice committee has a couple of things, and Jean mentioned some of the assessment tools there. We have, these are on the knowledge network. So for instance, if you are doing a home health assessment as a public health nurse, there are now an additional set of questions. You know, most home health nurses, if they're going to a home where there are children, they're going to look for safety features. They may look for a smoke detector. We're going to ask them to also look for carbon monoxide and see whether there might be lead-based paint problem. And we're going to ask them to see whether they're using pesticides in that house. So we're going to ask a set of additional questions there. These assessment tools are all on the Knowledge Network. We also have explicitly, for those nurses who are working in hospital settings, we've got an environmental health assessment for nursing students to use. So if you're teaching med-surg, this is a nice assessment to start talking about what products, what chemicals are being brought into the hospital, and are there some choices about that? Can you choose something that's perhaps less toxic? We also created, and this was presented at APHA, I think last year or the year before, an assessment tool that is expressly for community public health nurses. So how do you figure out what kinds of exposures might exist community-wide in terms of air quality, water quality, and so forth, both recreational water as well as drinking water? These are the logos of the green teams in the Baltimore metro area hospitals, many of which were either started by or led by nurses. Nurses get this, and nurses are moving this stuff out in their hospitals, and they are figuring out how to recycle things and reuse things and buy things that are not single-use devices but are multiple-use devices. They're looking at green cleaning. They're figuring out how to compost the kitchen waste. It is just amazing what they're doing. But they're creating sort of these logos. Have Mercy on Earth, and top right is Mercy Hospital, and the bottom left, Green for Good, is Good Samaritan Hospital. So the logos are very specific to the hospitals. In addition to that, we're moving forward on a research agenda. Currently, there is not an environmental health research agenda for nurses. There are good researchers out there, here and there, doing research in this area, but we really want to put a research agenda together, and we actually, as individuals, we could not have done this, but as an organization, we were able to make an appointment to see Patricia Grady, the head of NINR, and Linda Birnbaum, who is the head of the National Institutes of Environmental Health Science. And they are going to help with supporting this agenda and creating some opportunities for funding. And any researchers in the room, I would love to talk with you about how to better connect to some of that funding and some of that movement. Then we've also got a policy and advocacy committee, and this committee is looking at ways that we can connect in the real world at the institutional as well as the state and the federal level, and I'm going to give some examples on really changing policy and taking the lead in that when necessary. You've heard some of the discussions on pharmaceutical waste. No better person in this country to really help lead the shifts and the changes that we need on farm waste than the nursing community. So we had our annual retreat just last week. We are, if nothing, we are about meetings the past 2 weeks. And during this retreat, we decided that there was going to be one major focal area this coming year for the Alliance, and that is our education, our practice, our research, and our policy and advocacy group all working on chemical policies. This next legislative session, we're going to see a comprehensive chemical bill coming out, and if we can have our focus on that, really mobilizing nurses, we felt that we really could make the most impact. What I should mention in the green on the bottom is it's not just about, you know, ban the bad stuff, it's about really promoting in our chemistry departments, in our R&D departments, our research and development departments, the pharmaceutical houses, as well as other manufacturing plants, the introduction of green chemistry, the use of less hazardous chemicals in the production of products, essentially. Whole new area of science. Oh, and those other areas that are in black are also areas that we're very interested in, but our main focus this next year is going to be chem policies. So just to give you an example of statewide, this was something that we've had some interest in, which is sustainable foods, but last week nurses were asked to join a coalition just in my state, and I know there are like the pharmaceutical bills and other things that were described in Iowa and elsewhere, to look at getting arsenic out of the chicken feed. In Maryland, we're a big chicken producer. It's currently used, it's used primarily for growth promotion, and most of you know arsenic, you don't have to be a toxicologist with a PhD, you know that arsenic is like a bad actor. You shouldn't be eating arsenic along with your chicken McNuggets. So anyway, so working on a policy level, this is something that we'll engage in, and by being more organized, we can help to inform and deploy nurses in a more effective way. This just gives you an idea in working on sustainable foods of what nurses are working on around the country. Just because I felt like I needed to add some content to this so you had some idea. For those of you who are not environmental health and nursing sort of advocates at this point or engaged, there are just all different ways. And this is just about foods. This is just about sustainable foods. So there are just so many ways in your health departments or in your schools or in your hospitals or your nursing homes or elsewhere in your community that you can have an impact to really sort of shift things from an human health, environmental health perspective. So you heard quite a bit about the environ.org website, but essentially one of the things we're doing is that we're trying to create community here. We're not trying to create something that's over here and you go on the website and it gives you stuff. That's the sort of usual way of responding to a website. It gives you stuff. We want you to join the conversation. And I know, how many of you are students? How many of you have to write papers when you're a student? So if you've written an interesting paper and it's on something that we don't have on our website, we want that paper. And then you can write on your CV that you published something on the EnviroN website. So bring it on. And the rest of you are faculty, bring it on too. So the idea of creating this community is that we are actually creating these workspaces on the web so that we can play together, although it's virtually and sometimes in person, but a way of really co-creating. So I also, Jean told you, we're thinking beyond just the typical text. So for instance, I have done a whole PowerPoint on how many of you have taken pharmacology? All nurses, right? How many of you have taken toxicology? A few of you. More than usually, raise your hand. Most nurses don't. So I put together this little side-by-side PowerPoint of comparing pharmacology to toxicology, comparing and contrasting. It's very similar, but most people who are teaching pharmacology wouldn't know to do that. So it's now up on our website with my voiceover, and I would welcome any other interesting lectures that you've done. Once again, bring them on, and we'll put them up here too, and there may be something that either a student would want to watch or you'd want to assign as a homework assignment. Go watch this lecture tonight. So where are the opportunities right now? Oh, they're everywhere. They're totally everywhere. How many of you work in any kind of institution that is initiating or has already initiated electronic health records? So here's the deal. We have not done a very good job at integrating environmental health into our practice yet. We really have not. But we're now beginning to work with at least one company, and we hope to add more to that list, that are creating environmental health records to put into the records environmental health history questions. So you have to ask your patient those questions before you can move on. You've got to ask them about, do they use pesticides? You've got to ask them about some of these questions. How old is the house that they and their children live in? So that you then can offer them some anticipatory guidance about that particular exposure. And we've got good evidence from working, especially with prenatal services, that asking patients these questions and providing them with anticipatory guidance can help with decreasing exposures. So this is a very exciting area. Many nursing schools are now moving towards using simulation electronic health records. You're shaking your head. Are you in a school program that's doing that? The woman behind the woman in red. Okay. And so they're buying these simulation programs so that their nursing students can learn this way. Well, we're working with a student simulation program for electronic health records called Near Perfect right now, and we hope to have our first pilot out for the spring semester. So this is a way of having our faculty who didn't previously have an interest in environmental health have to address environmental health issues as they're teaching their assessment activities to their nursing students. We're not trying to be mean to faculty who haven't done this. We're also then hand-delivering the tutorial to the faculty and to the students so that they're going to be able to learn those two things. We also have, I am surrounded right now by young people who have these extensions to their body that some of the people in this audience have. And so we're developing a little prototype. Nurse practitioners who teaches is helping us with developing an iPhone application with environmental health tips for nurses. And that should be starting to be piloting probably in January. So stay tuned. Maybe we'll be back next year with the data about how successful it was. But I have to tell you that there are many hospitals right now that are giving nurses handheld devices as a way of communicating about patient needs, communicating with others. And we watched a video 2 weeks ago. My two people that work with me who are 20 years younger than me, and they were watching about how these iPhones can be used and how you can, instead of having an overhead pager and instead of, the ward clerk coming and running and trying to find you and screaming down the hallway and the way we used to work, right? Now they just get everything on their little iPhone. And this whole little tutorial was, they were going, oh, wow, that's incredible. And I'm going, ooh, I would never want to work there. And so there's this digital divide about age. So those of you who are my age or thereabouts probably would find it a little bit alien because you're doing everything on your palm. But for the next generation, this is going to be such a wonderful way to begin to introduce this knowledge that we haven't been able to successfully introduce and integrate yet. So we're very excited about those possibilities. And so we're making it up as we go along. I thought that this reflected that. We're just kind of, it's what we're doing. We're seeing where there are possibilities right now. We're working across the age spectrum of nurses, which means that the younger folks are coming in and saying to me, there's a whole better way of doing this, Barbara. And they're showing me how to do it. And it's a very exciting time. And I may have some content they don't have, but they're bringing these delivery systems that are really incredible. And with the advent of the web, we're in just this amazing place to start creating communities using that combination of social networking technologies, which people previously had been using just to send their grandchildren's and their party pictures to each other. We're now figuring out that it actually can be used professionally to really share with each other the knowledge that we're creating, and I think make a leap in the next 5 years or so in terms of the integration of environmental health into nursing. So thank you for all being here. And if you have signed up for the EnviroN listserv, you will be getting a weekly little bundling of environmental health news and resources and so forth. And we will be very happy to have you as part of the community. So thank you all.
So before we conclude, does anyone have any questions that they would like to ask any of the speakers? Tom.
So I have a question about the learning network, and I apologize for not knowing this. But the what I'm intrigued with is that when I read an article, like I read this thing in London about the carbon footprint of foods, close isn't necessarily the thing that really makes the difference in AI or not. So I read it, and I really have no way to talk to about it because I just don't know these subjects. So I'm intrigued with the idea that I can go to this place and put out a question. I read this, and maybe can you help me understand it, what the ups and downs of it are. But is there going to be somebody who's going to monitor this site and they'll notice that Tom put a question in and no one's answered it yet? And, or is it all just going to be just dynamic and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't? You know what I'm asking? Is there going to be an administrator of it?
I think it's going to be a little bit of both.
Okay.
Because I think that it feeds a little bit on the blogging system. So this is something you have some interest in talking about. So you will create, or you will join a sustainable food discussion that's already in place. But if you've got a new topic that's not there, you, Tom, are now moderating your new little discussion group. And given the newness of it, you will get in touch with us. And we will also kind of put it out there in perhaps some other ways to make sure so we can...
So there will be a cerebral cortex on this, at least for a while.
For a little while there has to be, because we're all very new at it. But I think that as people who are used to using these social networking methods for communicating with each other, as they start to populate this, we believe that it will start to roll without there needing to be a standard. Just like the web rolls without there being a standard. It's just rolling. So that's the vision.
And we didn't create that behind-the-scenes part. We owe that to Robin Mudge, who I thank on the fly, because he's that networking kind of
engineer.
You mentioned the possibility of incorporating environmental health assessment pieces into the electronic record.
Yes.
Do you already have any materials developed? Because my facility is just now working to fine-tune an electronic record for use right now.
Perfect.
So I released the materials soon.
Yesterday.
Get them in the pipeline.
Sure. We do have a mock-up of that, and we're working with a company called Near Perfect to develop a module for them. But we already told them that, you know, this is not going to be proprietary. This is something that we're interested in getting out to lots of different
companies. Obviously, we're already locked into an electronic record.
The thing about what's going on with them right now, what we've discovered is that the whole thing is relatively new. So they can put a module as an option and let their other clients know that there's no option. Yeah. And that's what people are doing when they're